Book of Exodus tonight, chapter 32. Book of Exodus, chapter 32. I want to read down to verse number 9, though we'll be dealing with much of this chapter tonight. But for the moment, let's read down to verse number 9 and see what God has to say. It says, "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, 'Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him.' And Aaron said unto them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me.'" Actually, that wouldn't be a bad idea. I'll leave that alone. It says, "And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.' And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.' And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf, have worshipped it, and have sacrificed unto them, and said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said unto Moses, 'I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people.'" It's interesting. Moses is on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments, but this is taking place down off of the mountain. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, thank you this evening. We have the blessed privilege to enter into the house of the Lord. And Father, you are so good to us. You're so marvelous and kind, and we just want to thank you and praise you for who you are. Our minds just cannot comprehend the greatness that is there. And we just, we thank you for what we do comprehend. We pray that you might bless tonight. We pray that you might work in our hearts. I pray for the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. For we pray in Jesus' marvelous, precious name. Amen. We find in Exodus chapter 32 that the attitude and the actions of Moses dominate this chapter. When I look at this chapter and read it, I'm overcome with what Moses did, the things that he said. And I think to myself, this man is one of the great leaders of Israel. Perhaps he, along with David, would be considered the greatest leaders, maybe even of all time. And they had great quality of a man of God. And so I look here, and I want us to see these things. But first of all, I believe that we need to note something. In the midst of controversy between Aaron and Miriam, meekness is ascribed to Moses. If you would turn back in your Bible to the book of Numbers for just a few moments, the book of Numbers, and go to chapter number 12. Chapter number 12. If you would go back to chapter 11, you would find that Moses appointed many men to have rule in the land of Egypt. His father-in-law said, "You're going to wear away if you don't appoint some judges and people to help you with that." And so he appointed some people. But then we come to verse number 1 of chapter number 12, And it says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, I find this interesting that we have these two people, the brother and sister of Moses, who have become envious of him, and they are upset with him. I would say perhaps, I don't know, but perhaps if I put it in context, they're upset because they were not consulted in choosing these who are in leadership now. And so they look at Moses and they find something they believe is against him. By the way, marrying the Ethiopian woman, it was not an illegal thing that Moses did. It was perfectly okay. And notice what it says. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? You think they're upset because of what he did? I think so. Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And God heard it. And so we find here two people that they believe that they are as great as Moses. But we find in verse number 3, God says something else. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So I look in this chapter and I find a man that's in the middle of accusations. They're flying about, generated by his brother and sister, and God calls him meek. I find that just astonishing. Matter of fact, to me, in many ways, it seems nearly impossible. Now, think about meekness for a moment. Let's give a definition to it. If you were to go to a dictionary, you would find something similar to this. It's an attitude or quality of heart whereby a person is willing to accept and to submit without resistance to the will and desire of someone else. That's meekness. Willingness to submit to the desire of someone else. I found it interesting in the dictionary I looked at. It says, in the case of Christians, this is God. And certainly it is. Now we need to understand, it's not talking about submission in this case to Aaron and Miriam, but it's submission to God. And we find this quality of meekness is an act of submission. It's an act that's willing to accept the will and desire of someone else. If you're in a position of leadership, you will find not very far down the line that there are people who always think they can do it better than you can. Perhaps they can, but God didn't call them to do it. We find that it goes on and on throughout the ages. I want us to notice something going back to chapter 32 now. Throughout this chapter, we find great evil breaks forth. And yet, midst of it, we find some interesting things. Go back to verse number 10, if you would, please, in chapter 32. And let's notice here, read just a few verses. The Lord says to Moses, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses brought the Lord his, besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." I wonder how would we have reacted if God said to us, "Just stand out of the way. I'm going to get rid of all of these crazy people, and I'm going to make you the new father of a nation." How would we react? Would that appeal to our pride? I think in many cases, perhaps it would. But we find, though, that Moses was what? Very meek above all men which upon the face of the earth. And so we find here that his weakness, his willingness to submit to the known will of God, that's what he is saying to God. "This is what you said, God. This is what you want to take place. It was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to whom you swore that you would multiply them, not to me." And thus he besought God, and the Lord repented. By the way, God doesn't need to repent of sin, but we do find repentance is that which is a change of mind. And so we find that instead of doing what he said to Moses he would do, he is basically doing as Moses asked and to do what he said he'd do in the very first place. And so he does not destroy them as a result of this. I'm amazed at Moses that he did not succumb to pride. How did that take place? I believe only one way. He had meekness. He was willing to accept and submit without resistance to the will and desire of Almighty God. I find that's often not true of you and I, but certainly we find this in Moses. I want us to notice something else. I don't know if I'll read all of this, but we find in the next several verses that his meekness isn't weakness. A lot of times, folks, they hear the word meek and they think somebody's weak. Because you have put your hand in the hand of another does not mean that you are weak. Matter of fact, it means you're smart. And so we find some things here. If you'd go with me to verse number 15, and we'll read away. So it says, "And Moses turned and went down from the mountain. Two tables of testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables." Can you understand this scene? There's wicked people down below. Moses is coming down with the law of God, that which God wrote with his hand. "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. And he took the calf." Here's what I want you to see. He was not weak. He's the meekest man on earth. But it says he took the calf which they had made, and what did he do? "He burned in the fire and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it." I have in my mind this picture. I have, on many different occasions, I've done it, you've done it, iced tea that comes in the bottle, and you just put it into the water, and you mix it up, and you got fairly decent tea afterwards. There is better tea than that, but it's better than nothing, amen? Anybody here tonight? And I have this picture in my mind as I see Moses taking this powder and putting it in this water. And I almost can see him wading through there with a big stick, stirring it up. And then saying to him, you go down there and drink this stuff. You wanted it, you drink of it. Listen, there's nothing weak about the character of Moses, would you say? And matter of fact, he's very strong. And when you and I have a meekness whereby we will place ourselves into the will and way of another, and when I say that especially of God, it gives you a strength, not a weakness. As we go on, it says, in where was I at it? And Moses said to Aaron, in verse 21, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? He's putting Aaron to task. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. Isn't that interesting how he places the blame somewhere else? For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And I said to them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. How many have you taken gold, put it in the fire, and it just came out something? If we did that, it would be a melted mess. What an excuse he had. And then it says, when Moses saw the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Now notice what he says. He said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. It seems to me when I see that 3,000 that evidently these were those amongst the leadership that was taking people astray. And we find that Moses stands up not in weakness, but in meekness as he has put himself into the hand of God, and in this case that God might use him for judgment. Now notice verse number 30. And I've read this so many times and stand amazed at what takes place here. It says, it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said to the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray, thee out of thy book which thou hast written. Can you imagine saying that? Can you imagine saying, with all intent, God, if you would do so and lay it upon me, I will take it. Wow. Verse 33, and the Lord said to Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of thy book. Therefore go, lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And we just, I look at these verses and I'm just absolutely overcome. He offers himself as a sacrifice. Meek people who put themselves into the will of God are willing to die for others. And we find that Moses has put himself there. We find at the beginning Miriam and Aaron complaining against him. And certainly in leadership, you have those who will complain against you. There are those who never seem to care for what you do. There are those who look for any little thing that you do wrong. If I wipe my nose, somebody thinks I'm being gross. If I let it drip, others think I'm being gross. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wipe it and let it drip, and you'll all be happy. It won't work. But we find this man tremendous. A man who did not succumb to pride, and a man who was willing to pray for those and put himself in their place for judgment. Great quality of a man of God. And if you notice something in verse 34, he says, now go, lead the people. Real leadership is meekness to God's will and not your own. Real leadership is a meekness. In other words, it's an attitude or quality of the heart whereby we are willing to accept and submit without resistance to the will and desire of someone else. And in the case of you and I, it is to the Lord. And he was willing to do that. I look at Moses and I see these two things, and I believe they are coming out of the fact that he was a meek man, and I see in him a tremendous leader. A tremendous leader. Listen, all of us in this room have places where we can lead. It's very simple to say fathers need to lead their families. But by the way, the Bible talks about the rule of the mother. Isn't that interesting? But we also find that everyone has the ability or the privilege, I perhaps ought to say, to demonstrate leadership by telling them about a Christ that died for their sins. That's seeking to lead them to Christ. Are any of us exempt? Not at all. What do we need? Meekness. A willingness to put ourselves in a place of submission to the will of another. Important. By the way, parents, that is so necessary for you to teach your children that they might learn it in the home, that they might also be able to do it much more easily with God. To submit to him. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. Meekness. Moses was very meek. The great quality of a man of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening. We've had the privilege to enter into this house. Thank you for these, your people. And I pray, oh God, that you would develop a meekness within each and every one. Lord, we not be like a Miriam and Aaron, those who look at leadership with the wrong eye, those who seek to criticize and so forth. I pray, oh God, that we be like a Moses. Strengthen our resolve to submit ourselves unto you. For I pray in Christ's name. Amen.